adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Oh, you're back. Do you have jeans on?
Let a little gas go. No, I can't light anything I'm wearing.
You know, it's been at least 3 years since you've done that. Maybe four.
Since I've lit a fart?
Chris has never seen that. I heard that. You heard it, but you've never seen it.
Have you ever seen anyone light a fart, Chris?
No.
No, I like it. This is, for me, it's like doing magic at a retarded children's hospital when I light a fart in front of somebody who's never seen it before. The look of awe and wonderment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that would have been a good one. You wasted it.
Would have been good. Would have been great. But I can't do it in the man-made fibers.
They melt? Catch on fire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I will.
We'll just.
No. My. Will be sealed shut permanently if these Dacron Puma sweats go up. You got to do it in denim. I have a theory that denim was actually made originally. They say it was for miners, the jeans, the Levi jeans. Wow. I think it was for guys who lit farts. It's that good.
Of course.
It has all the protective qualities of an oven mitten, but yet but air passes through it like just a drapes in a douche commercial.
Not just air, but methane.
The point is it doesn't stop any of the fart at all. If anything, it just fans it out a little. But it's really like wearing one of those volcano suits, you know? You know the ones that look like tinfoil. The ones that the guys who fight fires at the airport wear.
Yes, the oil rigs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. So I will not try it in the sweats.
But you can drop trowel.
It is a. I will drop trowel. I'll drop trowel. I'll drop trowel.
Listen.
No, I can't.
You might explode.
No. Yes, I will. I got my ass looks like a. You know the head of a troll doll down there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
I will go up like a Roman candle.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be orange. Yeah, now it's brown.
That's bad.
So here's my point. There'll be no fart lighting, but it is a feast for the senses when I light those farts. And when I yell, get the lights, and it gets dark, and you see nothing, and then pow, the flame. And as you pan around a room, like I said, the flame, it lights up the faces of the happy onlookers.
You're just frustrated, Chris.
It's going to be big. I'm going to start wearing jeans. All right? All right. Dave Attell, the world's funniest stand-up comedian, is coming on tonight. How do I know? Because he called and said he was going to be late.
That's good. Did you talk to him?
No, I did not. He called junior producer Lauren.
Told her.
Yeah. Okay.
Good time.
All right. Well, I don't see anything on the screen, so I may have to just filibuster for another 5 minutes or so. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah.
All right, so Dave Attell from Insomniac is coming in here, also from Crank Yankers, a little show called Crank Yankers. He's coming in just a couple of few, and we'll speak to Ryan, who's 17. Ryan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Man, I've been listening to you guys for such a long time, and anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as I don't believe in you guys, because you guys are the answer to all life's problems.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not exactly our intention, but go ahead.
That's mine. Go ahead.
Well, my girlfriend right now is 14, and I'm 17. I'll be 18 in October this year.
But you're a virgin, right?
No.
No?
No. Actually, that's where this comes in. She, when I turn 18, we've been sleeping together for the last year or so, and I don't know what kind of legal
13.
Troubles I can get in. You know how I can avoid those legal troubles.
You're turning 18. I don't think appreciably changes the legal trouble.
It doesn't.
I don't think so.
Why now?
He's more than 3 years older.
Well, okay, but still, I mean, by the way, once you're not a minor, once you're an adult, is there a difference between being 57 and 18? I mean, I suppose
I
in the eyes of the judge, he'd be disgusted at a 57-year-old having sex with a 16-year-old, whereas he wouldn't with an 18-year-old.
Right, right.
But in the eyes of the law, is there really any appreciable difference?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know how to answer that.
And as I've said many hundreds of zillions of times, can we just go ahead and get the age of consent uniform around the country? Just call it 18 or 17, or as I've actually pushed for, 13. Nice. I mean, can we just decide on a number instead of having it go all over the map, being like 5 years difference between Hawaii and California?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that is the strange thing in California, where if you're within 3 years of the person, you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you more than 3 years older?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Mm. All right. Well, maybe you being 18 and she being 14, maybe that's that should be the end of the road here. I mean, you being a senior in high school and her being in the 9th or 10th grade?
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't want to end it with her just because I'm turning 18. I mean,
how's your relationship with her parents?
It's her relationship or my relationship?
Yours.
I'm on good terms with her mom. Her mom loves me, but her dad just about hates me because
that's usually where you get into trouble with these situations. One of the parents pushes things.
Well, her dad's scared to go to court. He won't even go to court to get legal custody of her, of her own daughter.
Well, okay. Well, hold on. What grade is she in?
Ninth.
Just going to settle it.
Ninth.
And you're a senior?
Well, she got held back. I'm actually a junior.
Did you get held back, too?
No.
All right. Why'd she get held back?
Just messing around.
When?
Hold on. Let me explain what you have to. I'm a product of the L.A. Unified School District. To be held back, you have to defecate on three teachers and try to kill the four.
I just said, homicide must be involved.
You have to, here's the only way you can be held back. You have to not show up at all. Never enroll.
Right.
That's it.
Even then.
I just sat there winding up the propeller on my beanie for 5 years. They moved me right along. As a matter of fact, it was like, let's get them out of here.
Well, I think that's their plan.
That was, hey, Corolla, you want to graduate next year? Geez, I'm only in the ninth grade.
Nope.
Yeah, no. We'll get you out. Well, what do I do? I'm
bring those library books back and
14.
Then let you go.
Drop off We the People, and then you go out and get yourself a job carpet cleaning. What do you say? Sound good? Here's your diploma. All right. They need to break up.
I was thinking about you today and your lack of value in education. That is mind-boggling to me.
Yes. Well, look at me. Literally a millionaire.
Yeah, I know.
Arguably a genius.
I knew
with
you worked
no
out.
With no education.
I know with you worked out, but imagine what you could have accomplished, A, with of education, and B...
Hold on. What does that mean? Imagine what I could have accomplished with an education.
Who knows?
Who knows? I'd be some morphine addict who was tortured. And by the way, there's nothing worse than making like 40 grand a year and having a master's degree. You know, you feel tortured. See, for me, it's all gravy. Like, if you're a Corolla, all you got to do is make 35K a year, and you're making much more than you should.
Right.
I feel sorry for these poor saps who have 9 years of college, and all they have to show for it is like 41 grand a year at some crappy library job or some dead-end gig somewhere. They constantly feel like they're underachievers. I feel like an overachiever just by having a job.
Right, I understand.
All right.
Just there's...
I didn't even imagine where I could have been.
No, what you could have done.
What would I know that I don't know now? I'm the one who knows everything on this show. How dare you?
You have instincts about things. But
yes, I have instincts. I know what everyone's talking about.
Right.
But
that's instincts. But if you actually had knowledge, you actually could read and do calculus and study physics.
I know everything.
Study philosophy. Who knows what would
happen? I can build a house. I can tell a joke. I can kick an ass. I'm a Renaissance man, Drew. Please. How dare you? You hear this, Chris? When I'm not lighting farts, I'm swinging a hammer. I'm not swinging a hammer. I'm punching with a boxing glove. I'm not punching. I'm telling a joke. What? Fixing a car? What can't I do? That's the real question. And let me say this to you, Drew. Let me tell you something about all these pussies. All this time spent in college, they can't change a tire on their car.
That's for sure.
Now, what about that skill? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Imagine what I could have done. Delilah?
Yes?
I knew. I told you I could have been one of the great pirate astronauts.
Absolutely, if that's what you wanted to do.
Buzz Blackbeard. Would that be a great pirate astronaut name? Who are you? Buzz Blackbeard. R. Delilah?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. I'm a little embarrassed about this, but here goes. Whenever I seem to masturbate, it doesn't, like, I'm expecting something more than what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if I'm, like, doing it wrong, if there's, like, a certain way to do it.
For the most part, up to about age 22, 24, most women, not all, don't find much pleasure in just masturbation.
Do you have an orgasm?
No.
Oh.
Most of them too.
Yeah, but she's saying, when I masturbate, I'm expecting more than I'm getting. Well, if you're not getting an orgasm, you're falling.
Yeah, but women's systems are very different that way. The whole experience.
I wonder what book Drew read that in.
The whole experience doesn't make sense. It's just like, oh, so what? It just doesn't click in. It's like, whatever. Yeah.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is
they have no interest in connection, for instance, between arousal and desire.
Yeah,
they just kind of get aroused, but it has to have sort of an emotional component to it.
Well, look, here's what I'm saying. If she's not having an orgasm, she's obviously falling short of what the stated mission was when she began diddling herself.
Well, women have no, many women, again, they're all very different, but most of them have no drive to orgasm. So they might find pleasure just in the arousal, but she doesn't even get the arousal.
I'm not exactly sure. Most women who masturbate are heading toward an orgasm or attempting an orgasm.
Right.
And if they had an orgasm, I think they would be satisfied with it. And Delilah.
Yes.
Well, first off, if you masturbate, like if I masturbated and I didn't have an orgasm,
you wouldn't count.
I'd pull my crank off. Like I'd just be like hour number five of me tugging on myself.
Right. That's right.
You would find me collapsed.
That men have a drive.
Rigor mortis would set
they
in.
They must get it. They drive to do that.
Paramex be prying my fingers like pipe cleaners off my dork. Just what happened? Well, his electrolytes fell through the basement. He lost. He depleted of all fluids, and he dried up and fell over.
There you go.
Yeah. It's the way it would have wanted to go.
Hypokalemic arrhythmia.
He died doing what he loved. We talked about that in a while, but they always do that when that guy goes, the guy goes extreme backpacking and then he freezes out in the Sierras, or the guy goes when the parachuting accident's like, he died doing what he loved. Really? How much you think he loved it when the chute didn't open?
Or how much do you figure that was in his plan, too?
The dying part?
Yes.
Not a big part of the plan.
No.
He died doing what he loved. To me, it's like, if it kills you, check it off the list of things I love. That's number one, should not be on that list. Yeah, backpacking, used to love it, till it killed me. Now it's no longer one of the things I love. Dave, speaking of things I love, and this is good radio, Dave Attell is here, everybody.
Hey, what's up? I'm sorry I'm late.
That's all right. You know him from Insomniac. And,
Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Good.
His many, 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 many stand-up appearances. I saw Dave in San Francisco, must have been 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And I never go out and watch stand-up. I never go out and watch. Drew, what do I say about stand-up?
I hate all comedians.
Damn it, Drew. Didn't we work the beats out on this one?
All right.
No, I said I appreciate the art form. I could never do it. I'm intimidated by it. And therefore, I don't go out and watch it. Now, I went out and watched Dave. Me and Jimmy went to see our friend Jordan, and he was opening for Dave, or maybe the middle act. Point is, Dave Attell, 1 hour of amazing hilarity. I mean, I laughed my ass off.
Thank you, Adam. What about the our recent experience there at in New York at the Comedy Central Bar Mitzvah thing?
We had a lovely time at the 13-year Comedy Central Bar Mitzvah Bash in New York that I hosted and Dave performed on. Couple of weeks back, and I think it airs in a couple of weeks. Nothing like hosting a 4 hour show,
yeah.
Bro.
Well, you know the motto at Comedy Central: 13 years, 13 laughs.
Yeah, 13 hour special. And it's something I should have known. Like, remember we used to do? You wouldn't do them, but I would go do those. I'd go down to Bakersfield and do one of those band jam things,
right?
And it's great because the first band you bring out say, hey, you know him from Loveline, you know him from The Man Show, it's Adam Carolla. By the time you're bringing out the remaining members of Mahogany Rush, band number 27, People are pissed to see you back out on the stage for the 27th time in the same evening. That's why, like an Oscars, Billy Crystal goes out, does his thing.
Goes away for a while.
And then he goes away for a while. Lets other people come in that they're happy to see. And then when he pops up again 20 minutes later, they're happy to see him again.
Now, you mentioned around 27 the way the Jägermeister bottles came flying at you.
Yeah, there would be the mini Jägermeister bottle from 150 yards back just goes sailing over your head and into the drum kit of Third Eye Blind while you're standing there talking to the festival crowd. And you know, it's that weird thing where it's like in your head really quickly you think, well, that could have killed me. But then your mouth just says, I hear, you know, doesn't move forward. Dave, what's happening, buddy?
Nothing, man. I just got back from Japan. I didn't say it, but I'm kind of, you know, whatever it is, jet lagged or whatever.
What were we doing in Japan? We're doing
an Insomniac thing, and this might be up your alley. They had a thing that we saw there. It's called the, I forget the Japanese name, but it's a rite of spring. It's a
the fertility. Penis
yeah, the penis thing.
Yeah.
For, you know, fertility and safe sex, and they carry around a gigantic phallus through the streets. It's pretty wild.
Is that in Tokyo that they do that?
Outside, I guess it's near Osaka. It's quite a thing. People go there, and you know, it's like all penis all the time, and they carry them through the streets. It's like the Stanley Cup. You know, these guys like just carrying it around, drinking with it,
kissing it,
hugging it, taking pictures with it.
It's a bizarre culture over there. Drew and I have tried to figure it out many times. Which is, on one hand, it's really, you know, oh, the guy got a B on his calculus, finally kills himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very reverent. There's lots of guys bowing. They're wearing lots of shame and ties. And the next thing you know, they're grinding up otter gizzard and eating that so they can get a boner. And they're, like, eating sushi off a virgin. And they're cutting out bear pancreas and grinding up rhino tusk and horns, and it's like it shows what happens, I think, when you button people down a little bit too much. Next thing you know, you got the penis festival in Osaka.
Well, we went to a I guess what we call the porn station. It's a 24-hour cable porn channel, and it's kind of like a CNN of porn, 24 hours all porn all the time. And the guy told me that there's like a culture of shame there, that they're ashamed to show their bodies. And that's why, like, they have this weird thing with pubic hair over there. Do you know that they're not allowed to show pubic hair, like, in their pornographic material?
Thank God they don't.
But you're allowed to defecate on a woman. I don't get it. It's a weird double standard.
Yeah. And by the way, this is going to sound marginally racist, but is there a hot Japanese porn star? I know there's Minka, the number one Asian big
Korean
queen. Yeah. Well, she's Korean, but the porn magazines make it seem like she's Japanese because it's easier to sort of get your mind around when you're beating off. Korea, huh? What parallel? What are we talking about?
Usually they're a mix, like an Amerasian, some kind of...
Yeah, and it's like a Ron Jeremy pulled out his Mushu pork and gave her another shot of, you know, the point is all the Japanese references work, whereas the Korean stuff, she's got a nice kimchi garden in her shorts or something. Like, it's confusing.
Even the Mushu pork is Chinese food.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think they make her Chinese.
Okay.
They make her Chinese.
Well, no, Mount Fuji is Japanese.
Well, right? She's in a Mount Fuji movie. Yeah, okay.
They screw it all up.
Well, that's the other thing, too. A good porn connoisseur does not know the difference between Chinese and Japanese. Let me tell you, all the years I barely know is
finding out tonight.
Here.
Yes,
yeah, all the years
remember
I worked
about education at the beginning of the show.
Shut up!
See how nice it was.
Shut
been.
Drew's mic. All the people I worked construction with had no idea. They were just Asians, or they never actually knew the difference between Chinese or Japanese. Yes.
Well, it's the real thing hard to tell over there, like just from bar hopping around in the Roppongi, which is kind of like the bar area, you know, is Japanese transsexuals, you know, the trannies. Because you really can't tell, you know, because they do have like an androgynous look. And when you're drunk, everyone looks like Lou Diamond Phillips. So it's very hard to, to, you know, just sort things out over there.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm trying to think of a culture that works. All the dark skin cultures, there's going to be tranny problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you go to Minnesota, you don't have a problem with transsexuals. You don't get a 350-pound ice fisherman named Jan confused with a hot, nubile young chick. But you go to like Brazil, you could get burned.
Yeah,
badly.
Hot. Very hot.
Yeah.
Is there a story there?
Badly.
Oh,
very badly burned.
Ooh.
No, but just the entire country is 137 pounds and 5'8" and a half, and has the same skin tone and sort of modestly breast, there's really, it's going to be tough. And you're boozing?
Oh, yeah. Rio, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just there, too.
Yeah.
That's a wild, it is. It's a sex town. I mean, it's awash with whores. Every guy who comes down there is looking for action. And these things happen, you know?
Sure.
So what if you come back, you banged it, you know, you banged a train? Hey.
It's nobody's fault.
Right, it's Carnival.
It's nobody's fault. It doesn't make you a bad guy.
It doesn't.
It does not make you a bad guy.
So you're gay.
Let me ask this. I was arguing with this with Kimmel the other day, which is, I said, a place like Sweden probably has the hottest chicks, but if you're just going for average, you go to South America. You see what I mean? Like, if somebody said, look, you just got to go out in the street and grab a chick, I'll give you 10 seconds, you go to Rio. You'll be able to find something suitable to hump very quickly. Whereas Sweden has the hottest chicks, I think, but you got to sort through. You got to get through a lot of efforts to get to the one hot chick. What is the best looking nation, you think?
Mixes are probably the best.
Depends on what look you like. If you
the highest
you guys are going,
average, just yeah. like you know, not fat, not a mess. You know,
somebody was telling me Czechoslovakia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got to get out that way.
That's what I've heard. That's just unbelievable.
That's the best kept secret.
What about Rio?
Rio, I agree with you. They have that Jessica Alba thing going there. Everybody's some kind of mix, and they have that weird kind of party. There's no stigma to sexuality, it seems, down there. Only, you know, here we have a lot of baggage with it. But Sweden, don't you think that's kind of like an old look? You know, isn't that kind of like a, you know, Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah.
Sort of a Hugh Hefner in the mid-70s.
Yeah, I think it's now more of the, you know, Vince Diesel kind of many races together into beautiful.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just, what's her name, the Playmate of the Year from a few years ago. Not Dorothy Stratton. The one that comes in here from a few years
back. Victoria Silvstedt.
Victoria Silvstedt. Yeah, you see her and you'll get back on with Sweden.
But I heard that quickly. Iceland was even better than
her. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're the hottest.
Well, that's our next stop. We go to Czechoslovakia, then we go by Rio. I guess they're out in the same place.
Okay, there's a break over. Get back to
Iceland. Iceland. All right, here we go. Oh, come on. Julio?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
In Swedish.
All right. I don't need to talk to Julio. Ooh, time to play Germany or Florida. we'll get back with you in a second, Julio. This is a game that is sweeping the country. I'm sure you've heard of it, Dave. It's called Germany or Florida. Oh. All bizarre stories of crime and incest and all the occult and the macabre, they all come from either Germany or Florida. We hear the story, and then we have to guess. Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Paul.
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex with and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida?
Thank you, Paul. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I got actually a couple Germany or Floridas.
All right.
Then, pick the best one.
I got to ask you a question. All right, a man was arrested on charges of killing his neighbor's 17-year-old dog by place kicking it like a football. The man, 23, was charged with cruelty to animals and vandalism Tuesday in the death of a miniature Yorkshire Terrier. He was freed on bail later. The owner said he was in his house when he saw one of the three men holding the dog like a football and then saw the man kick the animal. The owner said the dog flew through the air in a high arc, hit the pavement, rolled under a parked car. The dog was apparently dead when it hit the ground, and there were three men laughing.
Wow.
What kind of dog was it?
Florida, Yorkshire Terrier.
Yorkshire Terrier, yeah.
Florida.
I said Florida because...
Yeah. Old people, Yorkshires.
Should kick like a football.
Yeah, that's a point. You would hold a rugby ball or a soccer ball. No place kicking in those floors.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
American football.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Florida.
They arrested Lucy, too, I heard.
Yeah, and Hitler was a big dog lover, so I'd say... Florida, too, yeah.
All right, we're going Florida?
Florida.
Oh, boy. It's Germany.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well done.
What part of Germany, though?
It's an oddity.
Wow. I like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you know, here's the whole thing. We got to take a little break. That's how you play Germany or Florida, by the way. I don't like people being cruel to animals, but I'm okay with it. I'm not... You know what I mean? I don't go nuts about it.
That was pretty over the top.
That's over the top. That dog's 17. It's really like taking a 125-year-old and place kicking him. You know, if you think of it that way, you know, it's not so bad. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I like pets, but Not as much as I like a lot of stuff. I just think people go nuts for animals. I mean, they're okay. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Yeah, but good times.
Yeah, but good times.
Yeah, but a Yorkshire Terrier, that can't even put up a fight. That's a step above a rat.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. But if he got some height on it, it's at least an interesting thing.
Yeah, but still.
All right. Dave Attell is here tonight from Insomniac on Comedy Central. Runs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 9 o'clock and all over the place. And it's got a little DVD out now, too, with the Volume 1 and Volume 2. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alicia Cuthbert is going to be in here tomorrow night. She's the star of The Girl Next Door. She's hot. She has a cleft in her chin. I don't think it makes me gay that I like a woman with a cleft in her chin. Yeah. Although it's a very masculine feature. It looks nice on a woman. I'm trying to think of what else looks good on a chick that looks good on a guy. But that cleft in the chin is a nice look on a woman. Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Not gay. Dave Attell is here tonight. Dave is, you know him from Insomniac on Comedy Central. Also going to be doing some live appearances. And that's really where Dave shines.
Yeah.
He's great on Insomniac, but if you want to see the Dave Attell that other comedians, the Neil at the garment of, at the hem of his garment. You understand that? And he's a short man, so it's hard to really get down that low.
You gotta love it.
You actually have to go into like a mechanic's pit, like the ones where they change oil if you want to get down to Dave's, if you want to get down to the hem. Yeah, got it? April 9th at in Bakersfield. Holy Christ, that's going to be a disaster.
The Fox Theater.
The Fox Theater, Bakersfield, not a great place.
Come on, NASCAR.
April 10th at the Agora Hills Canyon Club. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've seen Dave perform, and it is nothing short of spectacular.
You know, Adam, you talk about the cleft chin. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, it seems like the one thing that a lot of people have that has never really caught on to beauty status, the lazy eye.
Yeah.
You know? Like the mole.
That's cute.
Is in,
lazy eye's cute. Come on.
You know, occasional scar sometimes is
erotic.
Yeah,
can work on a guy.
Yeah.
And it's funny how somebody decided a mole was, a precancerous mole on
right.
his cheek. Well, that's hot. I can masturbate to that. That could turn into cancer in 40 years or so.
But a wandering lazy eye.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Although,
to be avoided.
Once in a while, if there's a smoking hot chick who has a flaw, it doesn't look good, but it's like she's a factory second. She's like she's like a dishwasher that you couldn't afford, but there's a dent in the side of it, and now maybe you could pick it up.
Like getting a suit in the Philippines. It looks right.
Right.
But
or like a Porsche that's been salvaged.
Uh-huh.
Like this one went into the swamp.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite right, but it's still a Porsche. So once in a while, you do see the smoking hot chick with the weird wandering eye, and you think, well, maybe she's flawed enough to be interested, or maybe her eye doesn't see me.
That took her down from Fred Durst to you. You know, it's like, yes.
Yeah. Go ahead there, Drew. What do you got?
We still have the Girl Next Door promotion.
Oh, yeah.
We will continue to issue two passes to everyone over 17 who gets on the air tonight to see the show out near them. It opens April 9th, starring Alicia Cuthbert, who we'll have in here tomorrow night.
Yes. And she is hot. She's got that wandering eye.
And the clap.
And the clap. Yvonne?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're 16?
I am.
All right. What's up?
Okay. Okay, so this is my problem.
What is that?
I'm 16, right?
Hello?
Yeah.
You're
16, yeah.
Okay, so I'm wondering, like, if you think that's too young to have sex, like, if it to be, yeah?
Well, not for our callers, but for everyone else, yeah. Who are you thinking of having sex with?
This guy, well, I don't know how to put this, but, like, I really want to, right? But I really don't.
Why do you want to?
Because
by the way, hold on. That's an exclusive domain of women.
Yes.
I really want to, but I really don't. Like, you never hear a guy go, like, I really want this chick, but I really don't want her. I really want this job, but I don't. Like, that's such chick talk there. This is why
you know what it means to me, though?
So difficult.
What it means to me is they don't really want to.
Yeah.
That's really what that means.
Unless I'm the dude they're talking about, in which case it means she
does
want to.
Here's what she wants. What she wants is to keep the guy. That's what she wants. She's one of him.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not true.
She has urges.
Yeah.
It's because, like, Okay, when I think of being really in love, like, I like, it seems like you have to become part of that person, right? Physically?
Yeesh.
Hello?
For like 10 minutes. Then you got to eat.
I don't know. I never had
You become one, and then you get off.
This is what I'm talking about.
Let her live her fantasy.
So why do you want... Well, listen, why do you want to have sex? Try to articulate that.
Hormonally.
So you have a desire to have an intercourse because you have that urge, a natural body.
Yeah,
urge.
And also because I just want to be in love so badly. And there's like this song.
That's a whole different thing.
I know, but...
Because you wanting a sustained relationship with him may or may not be jeopardized by having sex.
No, because I don't have a serious boyfriend. I just have a guy that I have a big crush on that I know will ask me out. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out if he asked me out if I should...
Why don't you let him ask you out first?
Because I've already said no once.
Said no?
I'm trying to figure out if I should, like, try to get him to ask me again.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm just saying, you know he's going to ask you out.
He already did.
Again.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if he's resilient. And you know you're attracted to him, so why don't you just go out with him, say yes, and go out with him.
Date for a while.
Begin a dating relationship.
And I shouldn't just, you know...
No.
I should keep my virginity.
For a while.
Yeah.
Until you're sure you got a relationship.
Over under on her virginity is noon tomorrow, by the way.
As I explode. Tied all in with your desire to have sex is this desire to have a relationship and to be in love. Trust me, this guy's desire is to have sex only. It is true. And he may walk away.
Weren't you in love when you were younger and just want to be with a girl?
Yeah, weren't you?
He was in love with about 30 candy stripers once when he was at County USC.
The fact is, though, you first have to establish the relationship. If you think it's that if he has sex with you, that somehow he's going to have the same experience and the same motivations as you, that's wrong.
Wow.
It's not going to be true.
She's going to explode with passion, this one. She's like,
yeah. What's your name, miss?
She's, what's Dave out there, Yvonne.
Yvonne, listen, this is not an episode of the OC, all right? This is the real world.
That's right. Relax.
Right? It's not going to be love and slow-mo and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be like, have you ever been to the zoo? Like two chimps going at it. So, honey, don't
maybe
get too... Maybe reptiles. Have you ever heard of Enrique Iglesias?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a song, and it's so beautiful.
All right. Look, and by the way, this is one of those chicks that kind of could freak out. It's like your hand slips down her panties, and she goes, and it's like you're thinking, I'm glad she likes it, but there's a point to which she should like it. Now, once they pass that, it becomes creepy.
Because it's not real. It's just some sort of weird
fantasy. It is whatever it is. Yeah, maybe it isn't real, but whatever it is, it freaks you out. So, like, you want to keep going, but on the other hand, she's just getting all weird.
Because you know you're not that.
No.
You're not the Prince Charming that she seems to be imagining you to be. You're some guy who's groping around.
I'm just talking about the crazy chick when you touch her.
is this wrong to ask, but... Alicia, how far have you gone with a boy?
Wait a minute, that's Yvonne. Alicia's coming in tomorrow night, but I'll ask her what base she's gotten to.
Sorry.
I haven't gotten to any base ever. I'm scared to hold hands. Oh,
so then there you go. You got to build up to it.
All right, just take it slow. To date a nice...
Okay.
It's okay to kiss.
Kiss the guy.
Date him.
Kiss him. Hold him. Fantastic.
Touch him. That's it.
That's right.
Don't give him the whole store. Let him,
Yeah, give him something to work toward. Eric?
Hey, what's up?
You're 17?
Yeah.
Wait, Eric, before you go on, one more word of advice to Yvonne. Saying no, not going to be interpreted as a good thing by these guys.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean? I'll have to make him play a game or pursue me. He's like, no, cut it out.
Oh, you mean the, he already asked her out and she said no?
That was a bad move. Hopefully he'll be resilient, as Adam said, and he'll be back. But don't
play any games. I'm trying to think. I'll open it to Dave and Drew. Have you ever asked a girl out for a second time that shut you down?
No.
Now... No, me neither. Now, Dave, have you?
No, but then stalking kicks in. So there you go.
Right.
It's always that.
Dave will oftentimes stalk initially and then move into asking out.
Well, then I know her. Then it seems like we have a lot more in common. Right. I know what she does every day at 3:15.
He knows her schedule. She's been reading, masturbating to her diary feverishly, which she stole from her apartment. But here's the thing, too. Like, you can ask your girl out, go out for a few dates. Then she says, no fifth date. Then you'll try to talk her into it. But if you don't even get the first one off, you're not going to ask again. Eric?
Yeah, what's up?
17, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, love you, Adam. If I was gay, I'd have wet dreams about you, but nah.
All right. No one judges in Dream World, by the way. You do what you want to me.
Not really. First of all, I have an impression for you, Adam. You might love it.
I might love it, and Drew may turn into a centaur.
Okay, here it goes. What the hell was that?
Wait a minute. The phone dropped out right when you were doing it. Go ahead.
What the hell was that?
Okay, now who was that?
It was Peter Griffin.
Oh, it was Peter Griffin from The Family Guy.
God.
Yeah, that was a great impression, but it's always bad when the person has to ask who the impression was.
It just wasn't long enough. We need orientation.
Okay, so, Eric, hang on. Drew decided we don't want to talk to you. That's the way I'm going to say it now when I hang up on people, all right? There's a question for Dave over here. John?
Yeah.
Hey. 17? Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing? Big fan. Watch
you thanks.
As often as I can. I wanted to know how you started as a stand-up comedian, or as a comedian.
Well, who's this, Mitch Hedberg?
Well, what I, what's your name? I'm sorry, I keep getting the names wrong. I'm not used to this kind of call.
That's John. You know what?
John.
Give Dave give him a pen here. And
yeah, do you
pen.
Have an iPod or
you just,
just,
you just sketch, you write pilot. The person's name down. That's
Peter.
John.
Peter.
No, that's John.
John, oh, John. Sorry, John.
There you go.
John, I started pretty much, I think, like 80% of the other comics, which is they tried doing other things.
Harbor
claiming? Yeah, exactly. We weren't good at anything else, and we just started, doing open mics, and, you know, the years pass, the alcohol kicks in, bitterness shows up, and next thing you know, you're sitting here on a call-in show. But, yeah, I went to college, I did all that kind of stuff, and I started in New York, and I've been doing it about 17 years. Are you interested in being a comic?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Really?
You got any jokes for us?
No, not.
Judging by John, I think you would say he'd either be a comic or an auctioneer. Just that quality.
Yeah,
of
it's
voice.
A gift. The gift for Gab. John.
Well, John, where do you live?
San Jose.
San Jose. So go to your local club on open mic night and just try it out, man. That's all you can really do if you're
cool,
interested
thanks.
And serious.
One more question for Dr. Drew.
No.
Yeah.
I heard earlier, a long time ago, there was a guest that said something about injecting. Booze, so you wouldn't have to drink it.
It was Nikki Sixx.
Yeah, most of the Motley Crue's mainline Jack Daniels.
Yeah,
what's bad about that? I mean,
it should kill you. That's what's bad about
what's
it.
What's bad about it?
You're putting non-sterile substance directly into your vein. It will stick to your heart valves, cause abscesses.
John,
it's a bad time.
John, write that one down. You can open with that one.
Well, John, you're already thinking like a comic. What's wrong with being an alcoholic who injects?
Are you a drug addict?
No.
Do you smoke pot?
Peppermint schnapps.
Okay.
Do you smoke pot, though?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
I guess no, huh?
The open mic is a great experience.
It is.
The guy, the bitter comic who yells at all the people.
Yeah.
He's like, look, at 2.5 minutes... I hit you with the flashlight beam. That means wrap it up. And that doesn't mean wrap it up with a long-winded tail. that means wrap it up with a joke. And then sometimes they get in a commentary. And it'd be nice to say something funny.
Right.
You know, they'll even, give me a little... It wouldn't call it constructive criticism. I'd just call it plain criticism.
Right.
It's just like... And don't and once in a while they do that. And nobody wants to hear about, wow, the guy's constructing my entire act. But they'll do it. They go, we'll shoot the light on you. We hit you the flashlight. You got 30 seconds. Wrap it up. You don't wrap it up, we'll shut the mic. You don't wrap it up after we shut the mic, we'll attack you with the mic stand. That doesn't work. We'll put an M80 up your ass and blow you up in front of the crowd. It's like, oh, this is great. This sounds like fun. I'm glad I invited my friends out. It's going to be great. All right, so you got the number. You'll be 147. It's 5:30 now. You'll be going on at you'll be going on at 7:30, but Thursday. Today's Tuesday, so you got about 55 hours before you have to do anything. But you can't leave the club. Oh, it's good times, those open mics. And then there's nobody in the audience except for other comedians who are waiting
to
get
you.
On. Because who the hell goes to a comedy club at 6:45 in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, at 10 o'clock, the place will be filled up with people who want to see comedy, but no one goes to see the open mics. So there's just a bunch of jealous, bitter, vindictive comics out there who would be goddamn that they're going to laugh at anything you say. All right. It's a good business, though.
Dave, you summed it up, man.
That's it, right?
You did, yeah.
Dave Attell here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dave Attell, the world's funniest stand-up, is here tonight. No, that is true.
Okay.
All right. It's true. there's a handful of guys I like. I like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, Hedberg, I just worked with him.
Yeah, he's great. I think he got a little screwed up on drugs or something, but...
Yeah, he had some, you know, that's one of the pitfalls of comedy, of course, is the, you know, self-destructiveness.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Well,
to avoid the alcohol and, of course, drug use.
It takes
later on coke when you can afford it.
Yeah, when you can afford it. And by the way, I've said this to Drew. I got to get into coke because
it's so cheap now.
When I was doing coke, an 8-ball was like $350, and these kids call and they're like, "Yeah, I scored an 8-ball. It's like $80."
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I'm like, I got to get into it now because now I make so much more money than I did before, and coke is so cheap. Do you understand? It'd be like
But now you're too busy to do hardcore drugs.
I think you can always find time.
No, I don't know. I think that, like, for myself, that's the one thing that keeps me from being a total drug addict, which is I got something to do tomorrow early.
Right.
You know, whereas in years past, it'd be like, I can kill 3 days. Do you have any kind of hallucinogenic drug?
Right.
You know, I have time for acid or something.
It is true. you are asking college kids to do students to do drugs by giving them, like, 3.5 months off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone needs a Monday rolling around, a sort of sober reminder to sort of get up. The alarm's going to go off. You got to get going. When you say, look, it's late May. We'll see you middle of September. Let's do the mushrooms.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have that much time off, Drew.
I'm with you.
They should do every third day or something, or fourth day, and just do it that way. What do you think of all around that year round school?
I gotta get summer school for my kids.
Unless they have to help with the planting and
that's
harvesting.
That's a plantation.
Right.
Oh, sorry. All right. Julio.
Yeah.
Speaking of harvesting, what's up there, Julio?
I have a question. I've been seeing this girl for going on 2 years. Yeah. And the thing about it is, it's my brother's wife.
He's what?
What? I've been sleeping with my brother's wife for about 2 years.
You're sleeping with your brother's wife.
How old is she?
She's 25.
Yeah. How old's your brother?
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How old is your brother?
My brother's like 30.
Oh. He's like 30.
Yeah.
He's like 30. You know how old your brother is?
He's like 30. Do you have nieces and nephews?
I have one nephew.
One. You getting him too, or is he waiting for him to ripen just a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. And this has been going on for 2 years?
Since you were
16?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it started when I was working with her. I worked with her, and that's how it started.
You guys were working at work.
What kind of work are you doing?
Oh,
we worked at a retirement center.
Oh, okay. Retirement
center. What were you doing there?
He was in charge of Jell-O.
No, I was a dietary aide. She was a prep cook.
Let me explain dietary aide. You see that sack of potatoes, Julio? Yeah. Why don't you get them down? Dietary aide.
So let's hear a little more about it.
Hey, one of the geezers vomited. Why don't you get that there? Dietary aide. All right.
Is she a drug addict, Julio?
No.
Alcoholic?
No. She hardly ever drinks. I drink every once in a while.
Why would you think a 23-year-old be having sex with a 16-year-old, especially a family member?
Excuse me?
All right. Okay. Hold on a second. Stop asking Julio questions. He's got to focus on dying. what do you think of this whole Atkins thing, by the way, Julio?
What do you mean? Atkins,
healthy, or should we just moderation mixed with exercise?
Or South Beach?
I don't understand what you're saying.
All right.
I don't understand what you're asking.
All right. Anyway, you've been having sex with her since 16. How often do you have sex with her?
I don't know, about every, almost every day.
At work?
It's like, no, I quit my job I don't know, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
She comes over almost every day to my house.
Almost every day.
Your house? You live by yourself?
No, I live with my parents.
Where are your parents when she comes over?
Their work.
Where are your parents when she comes over?
Actually, they both come over and we just like sneak away.
They both come over?
Yeah.
Your parents?
It's her brother's wife. I mean, they're always over here.
So when your brother's in the other room, you quickly have sex with her, like a Three's Company kind of?
Yeah, like a little quickie. Yeah, or no. Something else will happen. I mean, it all depends.
No. Well, wait a minute. I kind of believe it. Now, what do you use for protection? What if you get her pregnant?
You know what? She's been pregnant, like, well, I don't know, 5-6 times for me. And she just had surgery, so she doesn't have a strong uterus, so she always has a miscarriage.
Ooh. I'd like to find a chick with a trick uterus.
And her dietary knowledge. What more do you need?
Shut up.
Can't she eat more fiber and build up the uteri?
Well, Julio's her man.
Wow.
What do you think of that Atkins, huh?
I don't think he could have thought that one up.
Oh. Julio?
No.
Julio's been putting hoagies in blenders for the last 2 years. He doesn't know anything. He's deaf.
All right. We got to take a break.
We got to take a break. But Julio.
We're going to get back to Julio.
No, because we have struck a vein of crap that is we're going to turn into gold.
Mm. I don't know about gold.
Dave Attell here. Julio, hang tight. We'll get to the bottom of this after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Alicia Cuthbert is going to be in here tomorrow night. The hottie with the cleft in her chin from The Girl Next Door. Dave Attell in tonight from Comedy Central's Insomniac. And one of the hottest stand-up comedians working today. I don't know if you want to call him hot, but funniest.
I do the job.
He does the job. He gets the job done.
Yeah.
And how you can put together an hour worth of material is beyond
me. Mind-boggling, yeah.
Just remember it. I mean,
yeah.
How does that work? How much does the set vary from night to night?
I like to keep it loose, but it seems that last fall, I was on tour with Lewis Black, and he's a great comic. You might know him from The Daily Show, and
sure.
He, he's very political and emotional and everything. And he had a really great act. I think he's doing HBO Hour. It should be out sometime in the next couple of months, so you can really see like what an hour looks like of stand up. And for me, I'm more of a joke teller. You know, like one joke at a time, and that's how you kind of build an hour. You just get jokes, and if they have to do the same thing, then you try and connect them into a bit or a hunk or a chunk, whatever you call it. And before you know it, you got a, hour of stuff. And
how many jokes do you think you tell? Do you have any idea?
How many are good?
Well, no. I know that answer. But in an hour, do you tell 33 jokes? And I know you don't quantify it that way, but do you have a ballpark estimate?
I don't know. I guess it would be coming up on 100 because my stuff is pretty short. You know, I try and get to it quickly. That's kind of a New York thing where you get to the punchline because people are usually screaming, you suck, and you get off. So you try and get to the funny as quick as you can. Out here, people are a little bit more laid back. You have more time. But I'd say around 100, around 100 jokes, give or take, midget thing here and there.
Drew, in your life, what are you up to?
23 jokes? Joke tally. I think we were up in the 20s, yeah.
Yeah. True. So it's been a lifetime.
They weren't all funny, though.
Some are ironic.
Yeah, but you're a doctor, so it's funny.
So
you
lowered the bar for me.
Yeah, like when these retired ball players go up into the booth and
the Special Olympics,
the
really.
Funniest guy. They should have stand-up
comedy
for the Special
Olympics.
Wow, that'd be great. Yeah, be like what's her name's friend on Facts of Life?
Yeah.
Blair. Blair's friend. She had that retarded friend that told jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see much of that anymore, but it's always funny.
Well, occasionally you'll catch a comic with like a palsied hand or, just some kind of weird oddity where you see that humor has been how they've handled it.
Yes.
Now the rest of us awkwardly have to kind of deal with it. But, it attracts all types.
Yeah, well, it takes all kinds.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
A lot of lazy-eyed guys.
Yeah. Julio, back to the saga known as Julio.
So you've been dating, you've been sleeping daily with your brother's wife, pregnant multiple times, yet she's had a spontaneous abortion or miscarriage.
Spastic uterus.
Incompetent cervix, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're continuing to carry on this way with this nutball.
Well, I just need to know if I should leave her or not.
You leave her? Well, it's hard to leave. Hard to leave people that are married. If you don't think about it.
Well, I'm in love with her. I know I am. But
why don't you sacrifice that for the sort of well-being of your entire family? Stop doing this.
It does kind of make you wonder what kind of gal she might be, secondly, what kind of mother she may be to her child.
How old's the nephew?
Five.
Do you hate your brother? I mean, to do that to your brother? I mean,
you know what?
Did he not let you play with stuff or something, and now you need be with everything he has?
No, it wasn't the life, and I just, after years went by, I mean, I used to like when I was small, and I don't know, after years he got with her, and I mean, I hated him for that.
Oh, you was with her before they got married?
No, I wasn't. I was really small, and I wanted her, but I never got her, and I hated him for getting her.
I see. Dave, by the way, Dave's like almost every guy I talk to behind a counter.
Julio, you mean?
I mean, not Julio. Sorry, Dave.
But there's a bit of Dave in
here. Yeah. Well, the attitude is Dave, but the vocabulary is more Julio. Like, I never know what they're talking about. Okay. So what's the answer? Stop it.
Stop it.
Can you please stop it?
Absolutely, Julio. Stop it.
And this is going to blow up. And I'm just from, you know, I may be jumping to conclusions, but Julio seems like he comes from the kind of family that if the brother found out, he would stab him with a sprinkler key moments after he found out.
Gunplay on the lawn.
Yes.
And Julio only starts to make sense to me if he's got sort of a psychotic process about him, like if he hears voices and things. You know what I mean? It just doesn't, he's not really connected.
Yeah. I think the most dangerous voice Julio could hear would be his own at this point. Yeah. If he heard someone else's, it would probably be a help. Julio?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're asking you to stop because this thing's going to blow up.
Yeah, it is. I know it is.
You will get popped.
Do you have any medical problems, Julio?
No, I don't.
You ever been in a hospital for any reason?
No, I just broke my knee, but that was it.
Yeah, no mental hospital stuff?
No.
Okay. Doesn't mean he didn't need it.
What would you think if you were in your brother's place and you just found out your brother was banging your wife for how long?
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, going on 2 years.
Yeah, what would you think if he came to you and said that? And...
Well, I won't go to him and tell him anything, but if he did, I mean,
you'd be more than pissed off. You'd hate him.
And if he does find out.
Putting something together. Did he do something to you when you were growing up?
No, he didn't.
Uh-huh. Nothing sexually? Is that what you're saying, Drew?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh, listen, Kreskin, who cares?
What kind of guy would marry that kind of woman? And what kind of situation would create Julio's hatred for his brother?
I'm going to send her incompetent uterus a windbreaker. because that's the hero of the whole story. If there's any light at the end of the Julio tunnel, it's her incompetent uterus. Yes, Drew?
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, they'd have 30 kids, and no one would know it. And by the way, let's see, DNA. No, they'd have to be twins for the DNA to match up. They could do a DNA test. But the kid would all look like the brother, obviously, who comes from the same place Julio does. Sheesh. All right, let's just stop it. And if he does ever find out, don't say 2 years. Say 18 months. Softens the blow just a little bit. Eric?
Yeah, sorry about that. Wasting your time, guys. I'll ask my question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend, and she's a little loose for my taste, and we haven't done nothing, and she says she hasn't done nothing, or she doesn't masturbate. And she goes, it's my gynecologist. He does, like, these tests where one of them where he has a little plastic thing, and he puts it in there and opens it up and takes wipes or something like that.
Yeah, it's called a pelvic exam, Eric. That's what every woman gets.
Eric wasn't born yesterday. Come on. Yeah.
So that would happen for young girls?
Every woman gets that every year.
Oh. What are you getting at, Eric?
No, but, like, I don't know, can a gynecologist make some girl that loose? Like, my hands are pretty big, and I could almost fit my whole fist in there.
No way. Shut up. Bogus. All right, listen. Put your fist in your mouth, would you? But don't do it slowly. Have it get a running start at your mouth before it goes in, all right?
My face?
Yes. Well, open your mouth wide enough, you'll be fine.
So...
All right, listen, he's a jackass.
Well, wait, I don't get it. So he's upset that she...
He's bogus, bogus.
That's a bogus call. But we do have plenty of stupid guys who think that the woman is cheating or not a virgin because she's not tight enough down there.
For his taste.
For his taste, exactly.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
And, right. Right.
That wouldn't be Michael Jackson's taste, right?
No.
That type.
No, no. Different type.
Okay. Different area.
Yeah.
Mandy?
Yeah.
Close. Mandy, you're 18.
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I was going out with this guy for like a year, and we got into the rough sex thing, and we got into asphyxiation, where he choked me.
Yeah.
Now, we broke up. Now I'm with this new guy, and I can't orgasm unless I'm choked.
And you don't want to tell him to do
Well, I've talked to him about it, but he doesn't feel comfortable doing it because he feels that he can hurt me.
You don't believe that he can?
Well, I mean, I know that he can, but I know my limits also.
Yeah.
What are your limits?
My limits?
Yeah, how do you know what your limits are when you're unconscious?
Well, she has
a... I'm not unconscious. It's just almost to that point, and then it's...
Yeah. She has, they have a safe word. It's
I'm choking to death.
That's the safe word.
You understand, part of the problem is that the blood supply to the brain gets cut off when you hold the carotids down, and you could go out and be dead in seconds.
Be a real doctor, just a love doctor.
Right, right, Mandy?
Yeah.
That's how people die. I mean, people die of this. I've seen many patients die of this.
Yes.
Many, many.
Okay, so how do I get out of not doing it anymore then?
Just focus on other means of being close and having orgasm. Were you abused or something? Is that in your past?
No.
Nothing? You have no one hit you?
He just stumbled.
I was spanked as a child, but I mean not abused. Yeah.
Did they hit you with an object?
No.
And did they do this often?
Only when I was bad.
Did they do this often?
No. I wasn't a bad kid. I went to private school. And they spanked
us. Uh-huh.
They spanked at school?
With you know, those paddles.
Oh, my God.
What really? This?
She's 18.
Wow.
I mean, this is...
She was 78. Expected to be like 78 or something to say.
She went to private school in 2001, like you know?
Thing.
No, it was more like kindergarten through like third grade.
That's incredible.
But
you should report that.
Still, that was
place.
Like 1996.
That's against the law.
No, yeah. It's not, because the parents signed a waiver.
It's against the law, Mandy. Waiver or not, you can't do that. Because in fact, I was thinking the other day, you know,
my dad used to ask for that waiver and then say, "No, man,
yeah.
It's grown.
I was thinking about today how kids, you know, physical abuse has such a profound effect on kids' development, and how parents go, "Well, I do that with my kids. It's discipline, all this kind of crap." Then I think to myself, really, would you walk down the street and you smack a kid who just a little out of line? You smack somebody else's kid or some kid who's standing in line? You smack them? That's okay? No, only your own kids.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. It's so ridiculous.
Hey,
so, Mandy, yes, that's where some of this need for the high arousal comes from.
But here's the thing. And tell me what you think of this. I feel like she's 18. The last guy she was with was the Boston Strangler. Mm-hmm. And if she keeps going down this road, pretty soon she's going to be, you know, hanging in a clown outfit. She needs to now you've come to a crossroads. You're the steady guy who doesn't want to choke the life out of you while he's banging the bejesus out of you. How about you just go down his path and not get choked?
But I don't get anything out of it.
You get
it's
nothing?
It's to the point right now where I don't even want to have sex with him because I don't get anything out of it.
What about oral sex?
I don't get off on oral sex.
How about anal?
I've never tried that.
So you'll be choked to death, but you won't take the trip up the Hershey.
Well, la-di-da.
Well, there we go, Miss Rough Sex Play.
Only. I figure that's exit.
Oh, really? Okay, but you're allowed to be strangled. Now,
you know,
come
that's
on.
That's
already.
A tall order is a 69 strangling. You ever do that? I have to use my feet to strangle the woman.
That's like a James Bond.
69 strangling.
Well, no, you take it. You take a noose and you.
Oh, I do that.
You push with your feet.
Yeah. All right. Mandy, there's something screwed up about you, baby doll.
Really, very, very seriously, Mandy.
And here's what we're asking. Here's what we're asking. We're asking all of you to do this. Instead of being screwed up and saying, "Hey, but that's my thing," how about saying, "Hey, you're screwed up.
Better do something about
maybe it." There's an opportunity to stop this. I mean, like anything, like if you're doing heroin, it's not, "Hey, that's my thing." It's, "No, you're a junkie and you should probably quit."
That's right.
If you want to F 5-year-old boys, it's not, "Hey, that's my thing." It's, "No, you better stop."
And the same is true with this. Before you expire, which could happen easily,
Right.
You need to, any fetish for that matter, really is just primarily
and then,
to create profound levels of arousal because you've had those arousal systems burned out or unwired by the extreme abuse or the unfortunate experiences in childhood. And also to distance yourself from the other person. You notice how you're seeing she's
not
so
intimate.
Angry and demeaning into the guy because, God forbid, he's trying to be intimate with
her. And then think about the poor guy, too. He kills you.
Yeah.
And then it's that scene from a movie where it's like, should I call the cops? They'll never believe me. I got a couple of priors. I got a barrier in a shallow grave, you know? Then the cops come sniffing around and they find your scarf on the nightstand and they always suspect. And next thing you know, they end up digging. See, now the guy's doing hard time. And then what happens in court is your parents have to show up because they want this guy put away forever. And then the details start coming out. She told me that unless I was finger blasting her and strangling her, that she
right.
And then the parents just are tearing up. And it's like she begged me to do it to her. She wanted me to call her a slut and flog her with my penis. Your mom is now broken down into tears. Your dad's got a shotgun in his mouth.
And who is the only winner? Ed Harris.
He gets
to play your dad in
the
movie.
Yeah, when they do
the
movie.
So if you want to give Ed Harris work, then you just keep it going, girl.
That's right. Bill,
it's true.
That's how Ed gets his work. And Jeremy Piven will get work, too. Not because of the type. Not because.
He'll be the friend.
It's just he's in every other movie.
Right.
So there's a 50-50 shot. He's going to be in this production, too. Bill?
Yeah.
You're 23?
I got a question for David.
Here
What's
he
up,
is.
Sir?
Yeah, you did a bit a while ago about you rode around, I think it was with Miami Sheriff SWAT team.
Yes, sir.
And you guys were shooting groundhogs.
Nutria, that's what they call them.
Oh, okay.
Nutria.
Nutrias are rats.
They're a rat out of South America that have been brought to the States, and they're in the South,
Louisiana.
And they kind of get into the, Louisiana.
Yeah.
They get into the whole, you know, screwing
that
stuff up.
That was a great bit. Did you guys catch any flack for that?
No, you know what? We did that before this whole 9/11 thing, and we got some stuff from PETA, I guess, because we did shoot rats. So if that's what you're saying for flack, but I don't really care. I mean, it's something the police do, so.
The Nutria. Yeah.
They pay them
like a buck a head or something.
Well, what they did originally was set poison, like for rats, like in New York City in the subways, they'll throw down some poison. But dogs and cats were eating it and whatever native
species,
animals.
Right.
Yeah, so they said this is the best way to, you know, take it out. And it was cool that they let us hang with them.
And the thing about the Nutria, by the way, which is just a creepy name because it sounds like a diet shake. But I had the entire Nutria discussion with two guys last night at dinner.
Subatomic particle, neutrino.
I guess the guy, and Dave probably knows more than I do, but he stopped me if I'm wrong, but I think the Tabasco guy brought Nutria in around, I don't know, the early 19-somethings. He was going to harvest their fur.
Right.
And make coats or whatever out of them. And then a typhoon or something hurricane blew through, knocked over all the cages, and all the Nutria got loose and then just started multiplying out in the wilderness. And now you got this species that I don't know where it's from, but I know it's not Holland. It's always from Africa or
it's
South
America.
Yeah, South America or Africa. By the way, is that all we need to know about those two continents, by the way? All the evil vermin come from there, the bees, everything's bad that comes.
It all gets
over here. Yeah, everything's a killer over there, by the way. It's like Florida. Like everything is big and mean and venomous and stuff. Like you got a snake that comes from California. That's fine. That's just a garden snake. You get one that comes from Africa or South America, it'll kill your family.
It'll spit stuff at you that kills you.
It shoots you in the eye, blinds you, then it kills you.
What is it about south of the equator that makes all that happen?
Stuff,
you know,
gets like
it's
big
crazy
and mean.
Yeah, but why not? It's just the same distance, just one south, one's north. What difference does it make?
I don't know. I believe God had a plan that had to do with the equator, or he wouldn't have invented the equator. And
it makes you feel like the cougar, which is a big thing, you know, like, oh, the cougar's going to attack. At least it doesn't crawl up your urethra and, you know, get into your brain and make you go insane, you know.
Right. Everything is just big and scary and evil. And they get over here on some cargo ship, or some entrepreneur brings them over, and then they breed them. And then the next thing you know, we got a bunch of slackjaw guys just shooting at them. But you could spend a worse night than going out and shooting at nutria.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I really did feel like I was doing something.
Uh-huh. Do they respond to the light, or how do you...
They have a guy. What they do is you get on the back of a flatbed truck, and they use, I guess, 22s, and it's the SWAT team, so they know how to shoot, you know?
Right.
And they're using, like, a low-powered, you know, I guess, weapon, so it's not going to go
ricochet
everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
stuff.
Not going to go ricocheting around. And they go around through the levees and the dikes, and they do, like, one man mans the flashlight, and the other guy's the shooter. So it's cool seeing the whole, you know, take them out kind of thing.
And how big are they? They look like big rats, or what do they look like?
They're huge, yeah. They're probably like 40, 50 pounds.
Wow.
Big teeth, and they might 40, carry leprosy.
50, yeah. 40, 50 pounds?
Yeah, they're big. They're huge. They
like
swim.
A dog.
Yeah, they eat, I guess they're, what is it? They eat everything.
Omnivores.
So they, you know, they eat everything. They're garbage, you know.
40, 50 like, they stink. Yay big?
Yeah, they stink.
Wow. True. Great radio, by the way. Yay? Yay big? No, smaller. Yay? Yeah, yeah. True. Does anyone know what yay is?
I would have just I'll describe it to them if they'd like to hear.
Drew is, when he says yay.
That's like 3 feet across, yeah?
Yeah, he's that's a little less. But a medium-sized dog. Yes?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay.
But I don't think we could do it now because of the whole terror and, you know, everything is security.
We need the SWAT team.
You need the SWAT team watching the airports.
It's got to be bad, yeah, because you got a hostage situation in town and these guys are all drinking at the bog.
Maybe the
nutria
could solve our terrorist problems. They set up in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Just a couple of flatbeds with the...
You know what we need to do?
Just dump some nutria over there.
Do with some of these countries is start exporting some of our crappy things over there. You know what I mean?
I'm for that.
Because I swear to you, I think everything that's bad that's on this soil was brought in from somewhere. And so here are the choices. Africa, Mexico, South America. It's all, anything is deal. Here's what we had before this. Butterflies. That's all we had. Hummingbirds and butterflies.
Yeah. Hummingbirds, raccoons,
the bald
and
eagle.
Yeah.
We had kittens. They never even matured to full cats. We had kittens, hummingbirds and butterflies, and yes, bald eagles. That's
raccoons,
all we had. And then the scorpions and the roaches and the venomous snakes and the nutria, they all came in from other countries. This is why we need that fence I've been talking about for a long time, Drew. All right. David? Not our David, this David. David, you're 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 17.
Oh, man, are you high?
What is it?
Huh?
It's Night of the Hesher.
Yeah. Just,
what's the matter? You smoking a lot of weed?
No, a lot of people pass it off that I smoke a lot of weed. But I don't smoke weed.
All right.
You had a head injury?
No.
All right. Well, it's time to either start smoking weed or hit yourself in the head with something.
Or go ahead and speak up.
All right. Put it together, buddy. What's going on?
Well, like, I've been dating a girl for 6 months now. We're going on our 7th month. And the thing is like, I've liked her for about 2-3 years. I've known her since I was a sophomore. We both kind of have this thing going on with each other. And, like, the thing is that, like, she kind of screwed me over, so we didn't date. And now we're dating now. And, like, the thing is that, like, we both are, like, after each other. I mean, we both like each other. We both love each other. We both have...
What's your question? What's your question?
The thing is that, like, I mean, she's, like, okay, we were having sex and stuff. And all of a sudden, she just, like, put a wall there. And she just, like, stopped it. And she's, like, no more sex. And I was, like, why? And the thing is, it's questioning me. Because, like, the thing is, she still wants to... It's weird. Because, like, she still gives me head. And she, like, still wants to do sexual things. Yeah. And then she says that she doesn't. And all of a sudden she does. And then now she won't have sex. And, like,
hold on a second. How come the more boring you are, the more backstory we get? You know, the really exciting people, they don't want to talk about their 3 tours in NAMM. They just want to get to the question. These guys, the Hesher high schoolers, we got to get the whole backstory about how they met when they were 13. Okay. Her stopping sex...
Has nothing to do with him.
Here's what it could mean. It possibly means that she's seeing somebody else.
Possibly.
Sometimes they'll do that.
Yeah, it's possible. More than that, it just means she's ambivalent about being sexually active.
David?
But the thing is that, like, she doesn't... I don't know. It's hard. Because, like, she's really active with me, but she doesn't have sex with me.
All right.
But she has, though.
She has.
Yeah, she's had sex with me. Like, for the longest time, we had sex, like, for 2 months straight.
Has she made any attempt to explain to you why she's doing this?
Well, like, the thing is, like, she says that she doesn't want any sexual contact with me. And then the thing is that...
She wants to be your friend now.
David, why?
Because, I don't know. And then, like, all of a sudden, now she's wanting to give me head. And then, like, she has these weird, like, kinky sex things. But she doesn't want to have sex. And she says to me that...
David, have you asked her why she's doing this?
Yeah, and then she says something to me, but then she goes completely to the opposite of what she's saying.
Hey, David, let me give you a tip. David, forget about your last year of high school. You go right to junior college.
Yeah.
I want you to actually just drop out and go to junior college now. Well, let's forego your senior year. Like, here's what I'm saying. A great athlete at the college, at the collegiate level, he'll go right into the pros.
So David's a perfect...
David is that for junior college.
Yes.
He is a phenom.
Yes,
He needs to leave high school early because he's just wasting his time there. Go straight to junior college.
He's a poster child for junior college experiences.
That's right. He's like LeBron James of stupid.
Either that or he's deaf. You actually can't hear.
Okay.
David.
Yeah?
When she tells you what her reason is for stopping sexual contact, what does she say?
Nothing. That's exactly what she says. She just says, I just don't want to have it. And she's like, there's nothing. That's it. She just says,
This isn't a good sign. Here's the deal. She's going to have to tell you or you're going to have to break up. And I wonder if she even thinks you're her boyfriend. Well, she may just think you guys are dating.
Well, the thing is, I just don't understand. It's really frustrating because, like...
Yeah, I know. Okay. And by the way, for all we know, Dave is talking to a mop with a sweater.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. Dave could have been talking to, like, a trash can with lipstick and a mop wig on it the whole time and thinks he has a relationship going.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is not a good sign.
No.
If she's pulling back for one reason or another...
And you deserve an explanation. If she won't give you one, you must break up.
Fine. And, Dave, like I said, at junior college, you're going to meet all sorts of hot women in their 40s.
Especially if you have a car.
Chain smoking. Who still, by the way, junior college, even though there will be women in their 40s, still impressed if a guy has his own ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's take a little break. Dave Attell is here tonight from Insomniac Comedy Central every single night of the week. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alicia Cuthbert. Or maybe Alicia Cuthbert.
We'll find out tomorrow.
It's going to be in here tomorrow night. Hot, cleft-chinned lassie from the girl next door. Tomorrow night, she'll be in here. Very hot. Petite. But I like that. Yes? Dave?
Well, how petite are we talking about?
About 3 feet
tall?
3 feet.
Mm.
Sporty, though.
Tight. Yeah. It's so deceiving on TV.
Yeah,
it's like you with a snow globe, Adam.
I like... that was my plan, whereas I actually, once in a while, put my semi-erect penis onto a snow globe that'll have a small town on it, and I'll, like, smash into it as if it's being crushed by a giant penis, which is mine. It's sort of like a thing where you can hold your hand up in front of an airplane that's hundreds of miles away, and it looks like, I'm covering it by my hand, you know? It's a feeling of satisfaction only a man could have. Only a mature man like myself. All right, Dave Attell here tonight from Insomniac. The show's a runaway hit on Comedy Central. Well, listen, it's doing well.
It is.
It absolutely is.
It fills a need there.
It absolutely does, and it was a very good idea for show in the sense that it took somebody, and you know what happens a lot, and I'm sure Dave will back me up on this. Guys are successful stand-up comedians, and they're great, and then they take them and they put them on network, and they try to mash them into some sort of sitcom, and then it's like, what happened? That guy used to be funny. Well, it's like, he can't do what he's doing. All of a sudden, he's got a wife and kids and a kooky neighbor and a mother-in-law he doesn't get along with, and it's trouble. Dave, they gave him a camera crew and a bottle of rye, and they just sent him to Louisiana, and that was it.
And that's so true, especially with these sitcoms. You know, they always come out, and it's like these these comics who were in the clubs, they were kind of edgy. They just, you know, like had something to say, and then they put them in the sitcom, and it's just a, you know, a single father doing the best he can. And,
right.
You know, where is the whoring? Where is the out of control drinking?
Precocious black 5-year old who wants to get dad laid by setting him up with his preschool teacher. Always or, like that. I love the premise of the 6-year old that once is trying to set up single dad. Like I didn't know my dad had a penis until I was 30. Like I wasn't worried about my single dad. My dad was single when I was, you know, 10 years old. I wasn't like, I gotta get dad laid. I was like, I gotta get dad to buy me a big wheel. I don't care what else he does. I love that. It's like, she is fine. And the kid tricks the teacher into coming home and then tricks dad into coming home and then sets up a romantic evening for them.
What happened to the Mrs. Livingston character, though?
Right.
Oh, Mr. Eddie's father?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Mrs. Livingston was a key character in all of those.
She was a hot Asian chick.
Yeah, what was the connection there? Did they meet?
She was the housekeeper.
I know, but did he, like, meet her somewhere overseas? Or
he bought her.
He bought her in a game of Mahjong?
He won her.
Pai Gow.
Celebrity Mahjong?
He won her in a Pai Gow tournament in Bangkok and actually smuggled her back stateside. Uh-huh. And now she's basically an indentured servant.
Mm. To the son.
Yeah, Mr. Eddie's father. I like that. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's see. Oh, this is bad already. Maria?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
Ooh, you sound like you've had more years than 26 under your belt.
I'm sorry?
Have you had some hard living?
Yeah.
Yeah? You've been, like, into speed or alcoholic? What happened?
No,
you got raped?
No, none of that. I mean, I don't do drugs. I've never really done drugs. The first time I ever smoked weed was when I was 25, so...
Wow. All right. Well, it's time to start with the drugs. So what's your question?
My question is that I've been dating this guy for the past... since January. And at first, our, like, sex life was fine. He just turned 23. I'm 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, now, he can't keep it, like, he can't get it hard. Like, we do foreplay and everything, and all of a sudden, when it's time for, like, us to actually have sex, he can't get it hard.
Uh-oh.
And I have no idea. And, I mean, he smokes out a lot, and some of my friends say, oh, maybe because he smokes out a lot.
That absolutely can do it. Is he on any medication?
No, not that I know of. I mean, he does a lot. Like, he takes things to make him, like, because he works out a lot, so he wants to build muscle, so he takes a lot of those, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Steroids?
Not steroids, not at all, but, you know, he takes supplements.
All right, hold on a second. I'm picturing the guy in the tiger stripe purple workout parachute pants.
And the leather fanny pack.
Leather fanny pack. Yeah. Maybe a hat on backwards.
Yeah, and a ponytail.
And not a real baseball hat either, one of those, like, weird wimpy ones with the cloth thing that you can cinch up the freebies.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't feel right. Got the cardboard bill.
Yeah.
All right, I don't like that. Maria.
Yes.
I don't trust this guy. I don't trust guys that work out. I don't mind guys who exercise. I don't like guys who work out.
I mean, he tells me that he's really into me, and I asked him bluntly. I'm like, if you're not into me, let me know. I'm your girlfriend. Like, let me know. And if there's something I could do to, like, you know, make it hard, like, let me know, and I'll do it. And he's like, no, I think it's, he goes, I'm really into you. I think you're really hot.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You have a pretty body, and why wouldn't I be into you?
Well, he smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah,
smokes
so
a lot of weed. He's on a lot of substances.
Yeah, the most common reason for a male is some biological process, and at his age group, it would be a pharmacological problem, either a substance use like pot or speed, or supplements of various types, or maybe some ephedra in there, or God knows what, some sort of stimulant that's making it. And don't be surprised if he's actually doing steroids, and that can definitely cause this problem.
You know, it'd be a good ploy. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try this. Not being able to get it up for like 3 or 4 outings. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then the chick gets on the ropes. Like, what? He's not attracted to me? What am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm not doing enough. What can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do?
Diabolical.
First off, you get that 45-minute BJ. Another thing, too. That sort of sympathy BJ. It's going to be hard to keep flaccid during that period, but if I can pull that off, next stop, Anal Town. You know what I mean? Like, because now you're doing, see, now the chick gets on the ropes, and it's like, maybe I should invite one of my friends into the bedroom. Maybe I'm not doing enough. I should start experimenting. And then whatever you get on to, if you could wake your penis up, you'd be right. Then that would be part of the, that would be on the menu. That would not be a special. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna do this. Dave?
I'm with it.
Okay, Drew? Drew?
Whatever.
All right. Chris? No, I mean, get me a coffee. No. Come on, buddy. I love you. All right. Danielle?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Says your dad shot himself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. And you found the body?
Yeah.
That's worse. And, and that was 1 month ago?
Yeah, actually, it was the day after Valentine's Day.
All right.
What happened? Where'd you find him?
What?
What happened?
Well, my mom left him, and then he shot himself.
Okay. By the way, Dave's going to be out in Bakersfield.
Yeah,
at
come
the,
on down.
yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be down at the Fox Theater on April 9th, and then Gora Hills at Cannon Club. So your dad shot himself.
Yeah.
Danielle?
Yes. Danielle.
Go ahead.
And I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew, like, what I should be feeling, because it seems like, I don't know, my mom's really coming down on me, thinking I should be, like, freaking out and stuff, but I just kind of feel numb.
Well, the numbness is a protection, right? It's a way of protecting yourself from overwhelming feelings. The problem is, inside you, there's still something going on. You just aren't able to sort of connect up with it. And there will be a consequence for that, for not going through the normal process of grieving. You'll have panic attacks or depression or some sort of reaction within the next 6 months or so. So it does become important for you to do some, at least some grieving work with somebody or a group. Because it needs to surface. It's natural, it's normal, and it needs to happen.
And
also normal to protect yourself, too, so you don't want to force yourself into things. But you want to make sure you don't have a disturbed grieving process where nothing happens to you.
Well, and was your dad depressed? Was he a drug addict? What was up?
Well, he had a couple of back surgeries, so he was on, like, opiates for a couple of years of his life. Especially those last ones. And
so he was an opiate addict. Okay, was he an alcoholic before that?
Oh no, he never drank.
This is a horrible situation. I don't understand why you would do this. I understand why you would kill yourself, but why you do it in a place where your family, your family members may discover you?
Where was it?
Well, they lived in Tampa, and he shot himself there. My mom had moved out, and I was really worried about him because he called me and was like, tell me about, like, his will, what he wanted to happen, and that he loved me. And, of course, that makes me freak out.
Yeah,
I immediately, as soon as I could, I drove up to Tampa from Miami, and he had locked himself in his bedroom. And so I took the doorknob off of the screwdriver.
Yeah. Oh, horrible. All right, so you got to get some, line's horrible, so I'm putting it on hold, but you got to get some therapy.
Yeah, some help.
Yeah. Talk it out.
If I kill myself, nitrous is, carbon monoxide. But,
cleaner.
What if you did this? Do you think you could do this? I mean, it sounds kind of involved, but if you were going to shoot yourself and you didn't want anyone to find you, you go out in like a rowboat and you go out in the ocean, you tie like a cinder block around your ankle, and you got to time it where you shoot yourself and throw the block overboard, simultaneously. But if you could work that out.
Well, in Japan, when people, because it's such a very polite society, before they jump in front of the bullet train, I guess, they take off their shoes. So people, walking on the subway track or whatever, they're like, a pair of shoes there, that means someone had jumped.
Right.
So they can start the, search for the body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a giant penis they used to kill themselves.
No, that was, that's when they let their hair down.
Wow. Jumping in front of the bullet train. And here's the other thing about the Japanese, too. When they kill themselves, they do it. They fall on a sword. They jump in front of a bullet train. Yeah, they're not the, for me, I'm like one of those OD guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Pussy.
Yeah, I'm pussy. Like, my whole thing is, first off, I'm going to see if I can masturbate to death. You know, that's my first attempt is just see if I can just jack myself.
And you've been trying that off. A long time now.
I've been at that.
No,
it's been
good.
A slow death.
No good. Yeah,
it's been
no
a slow
good.
Death.
Well, one of the things we did on my show, which is not relevant to anything outside
yes.
of the Nutria, is we hung out with a guy who does crime scene cleanup, and 80% of his cleanups are suicides. And
huh.
it's usually some hotel or a house somewhere where something like this poor girl's dad, you know, just decided to end it all. And then after the CSI guys get in there or whatever, the forensic team, then they call in like a regular cleaning crew and they have to clean the walls. And it's a really messy thing. That's why I think suicide is kind of a angry reaction. It's
very
kind of
aggressive.
Like, yeah, it's very aggressive. And, it,
yeah.
and it's not really an act of love. It's an act of just hate, unexpressed hate.
The,
at the world or at people you love or something.
The crime scene Rosie would be a good guy to know. She's the bounty woman, I think. the point is this would be a good guy to know if you're going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like a cleaner.
Because I watch all these forensic shows, and they do. The guys kill people in their basement. They paint over it with epoxy-based paint, and the dog still smells
yeah.
the blood underneath the epoxy paint.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
That's why you have to get the dog in on it.
That'd be great. Yeah, you pay off.
Sounds like a job for Ed Harris.
Yeah, yeah. I got. You like that bone marrow? Okay. No, you're listening. Great. Oh, yeah. I got a Frisbee. But first, we talk.
Some pictures.
And let me tell you something. You're not going to get that fake tennis ball pump with me. When I move my arm, that tennis ball goes sailing. And you'll go get it. You're not going to. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't believe in that.
Give him a better deal.
So let's talk. All right. Also, I got a friend who's moving some heroin through the airport. You got any buddies working the airport? Great. Miami? Fantastic. What are their names? King? Okay. Let me write that down. Dave Attell is here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dave Attell is here tonight.
Just got locked out.
Insomniac. You're cool. You didn't miss anything. Yeah. Insomniac's on Comedy Central, 9 o'clock. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Drew's got to do a quick promotion over here.
That's right. The Girl Next Door, Girl Next Door again. All callers 17 years of age and older who get on the air tonight will win a pair of tickets to see The Girl Next Door starring Alicia Cuthbert opens on Friday.
Yeah. It's probably Alicia.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
She'll be in tomorrow night. She's a midget. She's got a cleft. It's going to be great. Now, she's really hot because I'll tell you what's a nice combo. Nice combo on a woman, Drew, as a man of extreme passion, and she's a blonde, so you can get down with this, is you want a little meat on the thigh and ass, but you don't want it to be wide. It's like if it was clay, you would take the same amount and sort of push it in instead of flatten it out. You know what I'm saying?
Women need, I've said that they need to move towards cylinder.
Yeah.
Not flat.
Your
right?
fleshy cylinder, right, Doc? I'll drop
you're
trout.
So
I'll drop trout.
Oh, he will, too, Dave. Watch, he will drop
Dave,
trout.
I'll drop
watch
trout.
Out. He'll do
I'll
it.
Trout.
He's wild, man.
I'll do
be
it. I'll
careful.
Drop trout.
He's
I'll
funny.
Drop trout.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while, we break into a small market morning
yeah,
radio.
It got very, very tense in here.
It did. So. All right. But, yeah, cylinder.
But right? Not flat, but cylinder.
Are you talking about the buttock?
Just the whole sort of shape should be more towards women. Don't know that.
Well, yeah, women. Here's the whole thing. Women try to get as skinny as they possibly can, yeah. and then they pack themselves. Or I shouldn't say pack themselves, but they pry on these very tight jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're very skinny and they're wearing very tight jeans, their ass just looks sort of
gets flat.
It looks like someone cut a big novelty magnet out of cardboard, you know, and just put it down. And it's like, there's nothing to it. Guys like a little meat. They don't like the width part. They like the girth.
Yeah.
They like symmetry, right, yeah.
Yeah.
The apple bottom, as
yeah.
I call it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and Alicia has that. She got, it's not wide and hippie, but it's there. It's not scrawny. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think women think that guys like Paris Hilton,
yes.
like that sort of scrawny,
yeah,
lanky, bony
yeah.
kind of thing. They like it. We
right.
don't really like that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's better than being fat, but we ain't really into that.
Our genes, our brains are triggered to look for things that will be associated with fertility.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And
skinny, she looks
skinniness
kind of
is not.
Heroin
yeah.
cheek.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's hard to tell on that tape, though.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I know. The night vision.
She's hot, though. Come on,
right.
Guys.
All right.
Please.
All right. Sonia?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes.
Yeah. You got a fiance that looks at porno?
Yeah, and you know, I don't really know if I should accept this or...
Well,
you know.
This is for problems, honey.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's the whole thing. Asking a guy never to look at porno again, especially when the guy's probably 21, is a very unrealistic request. On the other hand, if he's telling you to move out of the way, he's looking at some German stump porn, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
So which is it? Is he discreet about it?
He's not. He's as discreet as he can be, but I think he should be more. I just don't like finding, you know, these websites on my computer, you know?
Do you go looking through the history?
No, well, I go usually scroll down to go to my, you know, little links, and I'll find out that he typed something there. You know, if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have a problem. But I see it, and it just...
Do you tell him that?
Yeah. What kind of porn is he into?
just, you know...
Girl-on-girl hot action.
Yeah, just girl stuff, you know.
DP.
Double penetration.
Oh, you know what would be...
Doc.
You know what would be really, really bad for your fiance to find, like, stupid chicks, dumb chicks, bonehead chicks. And he's like, you know this guy's...
Not mygirlfriend.com.
Gets really turned on by stupid women. When are we getting married, baby? I can't wait.
What if he was into, like, Albanian fisherwomen? You know, it's like a big babushka and hairy pits and just
it's
thick
the normal
calves.
Basic that's porn, smart. But it just bothers me.
All right, look, you're 19. Don't get married for a while.
Long while.
Give it 15 years.
10 years.
12. Okay. All right, 12 and a half.
12.
Well, do you watch porn, too? Do you ever watch it with him?
No.
All right. Well, loosen up, baby. You're 19. Quit busting this nuts. They're so tight. And by the way, women, who are you kidding with that? It's not that you, whatever. It's how I found out. Yeah. It's the fact that you didn't tell me. It's not that you're banging my best friend. It's that I had to find out through Marjorie. And so I was like, no. Just stop doing that. Just say I don't like what you're doing. It's not right. That I don't look for it, but
See, that's how we could find Bin Laden. If we handed him a couple of porn spank mags and just send some women out there, they'd find him immediately. What's this? Oh, it's Bin Laden.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Late. All right, everybody. That's the show. I want to thank Dave Attell for coming in here tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
My and our pleasure. Insomniac is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Comedy Central, 9 o'clock. We'll take a little extended break. Alicia Cuthbert in here tomorrow night from The Girl Next Door. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.